sure it's starting to count.
Yep.
Okay. And your and the little speaker. We're okay, right? We're good. At 6 o'clock, and I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting together for September 12, 2016. First order of business is the roll call. Fredericks?
Here.
Ballard?
Here.
Trustee Genridge?
Here.
Messler is excused. Mooney?
Here.
Horn is excused. Rock? Here. next item, excuse me, on our agenda is to modify and or adopt our agenda for this evening. Any changes or that anyone is aware of? Nope. Okay, I'll entertain a motion then to adopt the agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from August 24th, 2016 meeting. Any comments on the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion on this as well.
I'll move to adopt the minutes as presented.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Item number four, announcements. Trevor, do you have any?
As you're aware, you submitted the letter of intent on Friday. Heard back from the state saying everything, all the pieces are in, so I know you'll review it. And then the other thing that happened on Friday was Jacques Beau.
Jacques Beau.
I'm not a French speaker, but I asked Jim if he would talk a little bit about it, but I'm sure the organization behind it.
Alloy was the original. Old Green Bay was the original home of a gentleman named Jacques Vieux or Jacques Beau. He was a fur trader who owned a string of fur trading posts along Lake Michigan from Algoma, Kewaunee, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Milwaukee, and Racine. And he lived here in the land that is currently Lambeau Field, so he owned the land under Lambeau Field. And this was his home. This is where he lived. This is where he raised his family. But his winter trading posts were a string of trading posts along there. So there was a trail that ran from Alloway, because in order the end of the trail, the Jambo Trail, was in Alloway where St. Francis Park is, because you can take the trail there, and then in the winter you just walk across the river to his house, which is the old Fort Howard paper plant. So that was where his house was. So the Jambo Trail, they would call him Jambo for, because the Indians couldn't pronounce James Vo, it was Jambo, and then Jambo is what we call it name now, and Jambo Trail, and the Jambo Creek is still around. And so that's all through two rivers down by Manitowoc. So the trail ran from Alloway through Shantytown, through the East River, there was John Law's mill on East River in the 1820s, and then down to the different trading posts, and the mailman would walk that trail from Camp Smith, which was here, to Chicago and back during the winter. So that was the Jambo Trail. So that's kind of what I've been studying, is the Jambo Trail. It takes you to, he walked down, he was a army private, get paid $60 to walk the Jambo Trail down to to Chicago, also known as the Green Bay Trail, and back. And then 2 weeks down, 2 weeks back, he'd get paid $60, saved up enough money to buy a bunch of land, which then became Town and Country Golf Course. He sold that because it got too crowded. The Americans started moving in. And then he bought the land where, in De Pere, where Ridgeway Boulevard is now. So he moved out to the suburbs when there really wasn't much here yet. But to make a long story short, Jacques Vaux is the patron, is the founding father of Mishicot. And the Mishicot Historical Society spent a year researching him and finding his grave, which is now long gone, but they found his son's grave in the 1880s and worked with the Alloway Cemetery, and they created this marker, and they placed it on Friday over there. And I'm part of a group out of the Manitowoc area that is a combination of artists and historians, and this group is part of that group. So we all got together and we had a big meeting, and as it turns out, we all knew somebody who was part of the Low clan or the View clan. So inadvertently, we started making some phone calls. They said, oh, that's my great-great-grandfather type of thing. So all of a sudden, we had a lot of family members there that we weren't expecting, but it was actually very nice. And then we had dinner, lunch after the ceremony over at the Riviera out on their new deck, and that was very nice. So it was just a very pleasant, Alloway was a very pleasant place to get together and talk, and we talked for an hour and a half or so. You know, it was very good. But Jacques Vaux, he was not famous here because he started Milwaukee, and his claim to fame that I found kind of most interesting is one of his descendants, I think his great-grandson, was one of the world's greatest athletes, world's greatest Olympians, great football player. His name was Jim Thorpe. And so he was originally, he's part of that View clan. And so he didn't live here. They got moved out west, but that's part of his claim to fame. And somebody wrote, historian for the Packers wrote a book on that, and I had given him the research, and he included that in his book. So it's kind of interesting going back. This type of thing is where I start my research, and then I have other friends who do the Native American story, which predates the Americans. So I stop at the Vaux family, right, and then the 1820s. So I do like 1800 to 1860. So it was very interesting. We had about 17 people there, and the Alloway Cemetery donated some of the things, the plaque, the foundation for the marker, and then they raised money to put the marker in. And it was a historical society from outside the area that thought our history was pretty cool. So that's it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Jim, is that trail, you've talked about the trail with the bent over trees to...
Yeah.
That's the same...
Yes. So we have an alleyway here. If you take the trail further as you get down close to the Illinois border, the trails were marked with bent trees. So the Native Americans, as you got through swampy areas and needed to find places to cross rivers, they would bend young saplings over, tie them on down, and then those trees would form into U-shaped trees, and that's how people would find their way through the woods at given points. So those are called Native American trail marker trees. The gentleman, Dennis Downs, was an artist. He wrote a book on it. He came up here, and we did an art installation with those trees along our trail down by the East River. And there was some more behind East High School and all through the Chicago area. So those were documented in the 1930s during the Depression. They did a lot of research on them, and they put bronze markers on all these big trail marker trees that were big back then and unique, and they put markers on them, but they forgot to plant new trees. So so we have all these markers with no trees. So now we've been planting trees along significant sites along the trail through the Great Lakes. Over on the west side. Thanks.
Cool. It's interesting, the history that is around us that we don't know about. Jim Thorpe's a familiar name.
Yes.
It's a town in Pennsylvania by that name.
That's the town.
Yeah, that's him. Thank you. Trevor, any other announcements?
Nope. Heritage Hills is having a fundraiser Thursday evening. It's called Bootleggers Party, and I think it's kind of a 20s theme. We'll get together. I think it's like $45 a person for food and beverages and whatever, from like 5:30 to 9, I think, at Heritage Hills. So everybody's invited.
Good. After we go to the farmer's market.
Right. Yes. Come over here at 3 and go over there at 5.
I had one. It's just an FYI thing for the members of our committee. The village had asked for suggestions on what to name the Webster Avenue Bridge. And I kind of, at the last minute, decided to submit something. So I called it the Robinson Hill Bridge, you know, just to acknowledge the fact that, you know, it kind of, the railroad track that goes underneath there forms the southern boundary of Robinson Hill. And so, and it's kind of bounded essentially between Webster and Riverside, and then the north side is the Odd Fellows facility. So it's kind of like a little gateway into that neighborhood, you know, which, you know, soon we hope will be on the National Register. So that was my suggestion. So just so you know, in case somebody asks you.
And who was Robinson?
Bobby, you told us once who Robinson was. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Not Robinson Crusoe,
no.
Jackie Robinson.
Newspaper. I think you're the newspaper man.
Mm. Okay.
And he owned that land. Mm-hmm.
And I saw something. I don't know. It was a biography of someone else who built a property on Robinson Hill in 1890 something. And it was referred to as Robinson Hill then, and I guess it was for some time prior to that, because they talked about how he built, and I think, Jim, you mentioned that you think that that house was at the end of Alloway Terrace, somewhere in there. You know, in the language of the time, it was like it afforded him an excellent view of the river, and we know how they, you know, I can't remember the words, but it was in the vernacular, the way they describe things. And it was called Robinson Hill way back then. So. And when the trains would go through there in the 20s and 30s, it was the trainmen called it Diaper Alley, because it was kind of homes for starting families, and smaller homes. And it had dryers back then, so they had those lines. So they called it Diaper Alley. So, well, that's my tribute for tonight.
We don't want to call it Diaper Alley Historic
District. Yeah.
Well, I thought about doing that. You know, some of the other names, I mean, one of them was, the suggestions were the way too long bridge, because the amount of time it took to do this project is absolutely, I don't know who sent that in. Shantytown was a good one. Jim, was that yours? And that's a good one for the place, but a lot of people wouldn't know that area was, and they might, you know, Shantytown makes it sound like it's like kind of a crummy place. You know, so. Historically, it's important, and we would know that, but everybody else wouldn't probably. Clodge Crossing, that was one. Yeah, Robert Stewart, who I'd never heard of. But, okay, so that's my trivia for tonight.
Howard's trivia lesson.
Item number 5, public appearances.
Jim Orr, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm really disappointed that the state didn't give us a list of contractors that could do both houses for $4,000. wish that they stated trained people here in Brown County to do that type of work, because we have a lot, we have a big need for historic documentation, and to have somebody come up from Madison all the time to do it is cost prohibitive. But we have enough people here in town that could be trained, and that our college graduates and that type of stuff that could do the work. So I'd like to encourage the state to train people locally here in Brown County to do those types of reports, and we should be able to get them done for $2,000 instead of $4,000 apiece.
Thanks. Thank you. Seeing no one else, I guess we'll move on to item number 6. Action regarding selection of individually eligible property for the 2015-2016 National Register nomination project. I think items number 6 and 7 are ones for which we need Cecile to recuse herself. What do you think, Trevor? Is that appropriate? Do you have a place for her to go? Do you have a TV back there?
I can go in the hallway.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's part of the process. So before we start, I'll just ask Trevor if you have any words of wisdom or any information for us.
As far as selection of the project, I really do not have a subjective way to recommend. I guess that leaves you with very limited options, with one being the and that's the court decision to make, but that might be the most subjective way to go, would be for going both houses.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Sure. I think probably the only subjective way I can see going forward is to forego both houses and apply for both of them for next year's grade. But you may have a different view or a different opinion. That's my recommendation. To get into the Mr. Burke's recommendation from last time, turned out a very good idea. However, and I'll give you a question of that. However, we're going to have to send out a new RFP, and that part won't take very long, because I can borrow language from our own RFP. What's going to take some time is soliciting other vendors, going through that process of selection, giving them time to put together a proposal. You're looking at December and January, which brings you into the next grant cycle. That's part of my recommendation. Maybe we should just forego both houses at this point and apply for next year. After doing some digging, I found out why we had so few people respond to the RFQ. When we had a good response for our estimates back when we applied for the grant. And that was because we applied for the project as one project, which is what we've done in the past. However, past projects have been individual listings, not districts. And when the districts are large projects, a very limited number of companies can take on. A lot of the qualified consultants on the state list are individuals. They own their own company and they're self-employed. They don't have any other people working for them. So they're doing everything on their own. So They typically only do individual listings because it's what they can manage. Firms like Legacy are larger firms that would take that on. Other firms might be UW-Milwaukee or Media Hunt has done a few as well. However, they didn't respond to the RFQ. So the idea behind applying for both, or applying as one project was because that's what we've done in the past and it seemed to work. I hadn't, thought of that might have some other implications. I had originally thought that applying for one as one project would give us some leverage to fund the other projects, knowing how the state funds or ranks different projects. Then I thought maybe if they gave us money for the district, we would have money left over to do the individual listings, which was the case. But unfortunately, not enough money to do both houses. So I guess takes us back to the point. I can give you a good recommendation as far as which home to choose. However, I think moving forward to next year's grant cycle, I think maybe we should consider applying as two separate projects, an individual listing and a district, just so we can kind of then, in the future, have two projects that the state can advertise and send an RFQ out so that we can, you know, have more vendors to choose from. So it's a learning process, I guess. There's a strategy behind every grant and this one is, you know, just had to learn it the hard way. So I don't know if you followed all that, but if you have any questions, please.
No, I personally hadn't thought of that because I didn't know. I just hadn't thought of it, you know. But I can see the logic behind putting ourselves into the next cycle anyway by trying to go back to find other bidders. And I can see the logic behind, you know, favoring one over the other because that's kind of hard to do. They stand on their own merits. The reason they're qualified for nomination is because of their architectural style, not who lived there, even though the owners of those homes were prominent. You know, I did mention before, who weren't here? You weren't here last time. Roger Minahan's great uncle was the Minahan that perished on the Titanic. That's the connection genealogically. You know, he was a prominent attorney in his own right. You know, but that was the reason Minahan names maybe more well known. So I couldn't find a way to. Before we continue, if we need to suspend the rules, which we can do.
Thank you. Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I've been thinking about it a lot. They're both great properties. The first one was flip a coin. That's usually what you do. Absent that, if there was a more objective criteria and a long-range strategy for the committee to go ahead and do it, I think I would do the old Alloway properties first because you're already creating a synergy with the Miramar District, which is part of Old Alloway, and then I would move just up the street, and then there's likely good chance that maybe people may take it upon themselves to have their own houses done. So you're doing the research on it. That's where I think that you got some synergy, and it makes sense to focus your energy on a certain spot. Then next year we're going to be doing Robinson Hill. There's not going to be 70 houses. There's not going to be any money left over on that one. The following year you're going to be doing Sunset Park, which is part of Sunlight Park subdivision, and you got the same deal going on. You're in the same area. It's the same subdivision. you're going to have a synergy again. There's likely, if you only have doing 16 houses, 16 small houses, including Vince Lombardi's house, and then one house in the same subdivision, that's an easy add-on. That's a natural. So you would probably be able to get some good bids on that one, too. So I would kind of plan a three-year strategy. Do Old Alloway this year, Robinson Hill next year, Sunset Park the following year, and then include the individual buildings, you know, as they come on. So Sunset Park is actually part of Sunlight Park subdivision, and Minahan's house is in Sunlight Park subdivision. That's a natural fit, and there's only 16 houses, so you'd probably be able to get that done in under, you know, for about the same cost as you would do the Miramar project.
Your synergy with regard to the Lillian and Herman Grayling properties, because the next two properties south of there are potential candidates also.
So they
one
may
of which
say
has already voiced an interest, I think, and recently would become. So again, that's a way to start that process by having someone next door.
And what you'll find is that if you do the work on that particular property, then people with similar properties can get theirs done for less, because the legwork, the first one is always the hardest, because that has to do with the basic research, and then the second one is only on the architecture of the house, because you've already done the neighborhood.
They already have the context of where they're located.
You think that would hold true also for the Sunlight Park thing?
Absolutely. The difference is Old Alloway was a trolley district. It was built on the trolley line, so it's in the National Register under a trolley district. And the Sunlight Park was a country club district, because that was a Fox River Country Club. So those houses were built as a little bit more as some of the original country club properties. So you definitely have synergy by grouping them with your neighborhood, the individuals with the districts. You get a lot more synergy, and then people can talk about it, and you can walk from one to the other and still be talking about it when you're out on your neighborhood walk.
What's the probability that Sunset Circle will be interested, that the homeowners there would be interested in pursuing it?
Well, in a couple of years, the Lombardi house won't be qualified until 2018 anyway, because it has to be 50 years from the end of his tenure, is my understanding. So that's coming up very soon. So that's, you know, those people like the Lombardi story, and then, you know, I think in 2 years you're more likely to have that neighborhood get more interested in.
Yeah, and we're out a couple of years anyway before we move.
Right, because next year you already have Robinson Hill on the agenda, so you're a couple of years out, and then those people may say, yeah, I'm now interested. That they'll see what happens over on the Miramar, the Grayling property, and going like that. That makes a lot of sense. So I would recommend doing the Grayling property on Webster, which is also the Ruskin property, only because it's adjacent to the other one that you're already doing, so you have the synergy. And then you may pick up some of the neighbors who do it on their own.
Any questions for Jim?
If you have the money to do it, because you'll never get the money again to do the two of them. You'll never get that. If you wait till next year, you're not going to get it next year. It may be 4 or 5 years or 6 years. You may never get done, and other people want it done. So I would at least do the one that you got now, and it's either flip a coin or pick the right one else.
Thank you. I guess we'll take up the rules again and continue our deliberation. What do you all think? I guess it's good for us to, or we need to.
So if we
have our opinions out there, so we can discuss.
Sure. I mean, if we decide to pick one of the properties or whatever, cost-wise, that's in the budget right now. We don't need any extra money. We can get one done.
Correct.
That's the plan. Okay. Yeah, and I've given a lot of thought too, like all of us, I guess. And Doesn't seem like there's a simple answer. Jim's synergy ideas certainly make a lot of sense. I know the two property owners were polled, basically, about maybe contributing to the cost of it, and one was interested and one wasn't at this point, as I understand it. Does that mean that one is more committed to the idea than the other one? And that is certainly worth, you know, some discussion. Comparing two properties is difficult. As opposed to the synergy, I was thinking, well, you know, if we did the one down on St. Francis or whatever, because they were kind of spreading it out through the village versus just concentrating in one area. But concentrating it makes sense, too. So it's like, I'm not sure. I'm just kind of out there, you know.
Could flip a coin.
Yeah, could.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most fair thing to do, right? I mean, 50-50, allegedly.
That's an option, but it'd be good to pursue our other options first.
Sure.
You know, and then we'd have to agree that flipping the coin is the way we want to present our answer. You know,
never sounds like a great solution, does it?
Yeah, but
so how'd you decide that one?
Yeah. I mean, how do we feel about giving that as the reason? You know, so I think we should keep talking. What's your
I was just going to say that I don't think by us making a decision between the two or picking a favorite, we're just picking what makes the most sense for the current project at hand. And I was kind of thinking along the same lines as Jim was, as far as location makes sense. And also just maybe basing it simply on just the age of the homes. And if that's the justification we need to give, I felt like that would be sufficient. So I would want to see it move forward since we do have the money to actually get it taken care of while we have it. And then just one's going to wait. It's just going to be a wait. And then we'll work on it later. It's not that we're going to ignore anybody or any property, you know, devalue them any. It's just what makes the most sense for today. So I guess I would favor going forward with the Webster Avenue home property. That's just my thought.
Thanks.
Bobby. I also don't want to give up grant money because it's never a given. And if we have it, I would like to use it. I would lean more towards Cecile's property only because she was willing to split the difference to get both houses done. Plus, she's also a board member showing interest in historic preservation, and she's already taken that step to contribute back to the community by being on this board.
Oh, she owns one of these homes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not realize that. Yeah.
The Roger Minahan.
Oh, okay, okay.
Her and her husband's. Any other comments on your
no,
opinion?
No, those are the two that pushed me over the edge for Cecile's property.
So she would do, what was the proposal on her? And
we asked at the last board meeting if the property owners would be willing to split the difference to make up what we needed for the project. And she had approached the Bruskies already prior to our meeting. And Mr. Bruski had indicated that they had planned contributions to other initiatives and weren't interested in pursuing that.
Gotcha.
Because they were looking at $2,100 apiece or whatever the
fuck. Yeah. And your point's well taken. I mean,
I think
Mr. Fowler, pardon?
I was just going to say, I didn't know about her offer, but that's really very nice.
Yeah, Mr. Fowler attended our first meeting, I think, a couple of years ago at the Webster Avenue School. And we talked to him for a long time, and at the next meeting, Cecile came, and I was joking with somebody. Yeah, he was afraid we were going to keep trying to talk him into joining our group, you know. But, you know, because Cecile came to a couple of meetings, and then she, when the opportunity came up, joined. So, you know, there's a clear interest there. But I think that an overriding issue, as opposed to showing an interest, is the synergy that Jim mentioned, because I think that that's a better solution to the problem rather than just, because it's an intangible, you know, we don't know for sure how where the Briskies, they may be quite interested, but just have other uses for their discretionary money. And it might feel unfair, because when we give a response and make an action, we're going to have to say why. You know, here's we can't just say, well, we just did it. You know, we have to have a reason. It has to make sense. And I've thought about it, obviously, and the two properties are both significant in their own right architecturally. That's why, and the reason that they're eligible is because of their, you know, one is a Georgian Revival and the other one is a Mediterranean Revival, and they're both excellent examples of that style architecture. So we can't say, well, we like Georgian better or we like Mediterranean better. I think that's too subjective. I hadn't thought about the synergy issue, but I kind of am tending to go along with the idea of having the one on Webster Avenue for that reason, because it has some basis in logic in terms of things that we should be thinking. It's a thing we should be thinking about, I think, as far as moving forward. So I guess I'm in favor of the Webster Avenue property for the reasons already specified. Gives us a better chance to move forward with a couple of other properties on that same street, literally down the block. And
would that same hold true of the Minahan property? I know there's a house right across and on the left side that's older. I don't know anything about it. I mean, it looks kind of historic significant, but I don't know that. A lot of those other ones would be newer, well, 40s and 50s, I would guess, huh?
So it's a great neighborhood. It's more of a post-war, World War II. The old Elmway is all 1920s and
20s. Minahan property was built in 1938.
Okay.
And there was nothing else around it. We live around the corner and down the block. And the Brown County, the GIS system, you can go in and look at aerial photographs of 1938.
Really?
Of any street there. And half of the screen is that, and the other half is what it is today, or in 2010, I think, whatever. And if you slide the line over, then it superimposes 1938 over 2010. And there's only one other house that I could see that was within a block or two, and that was the one next to ours. Otherwise, it was just, it looked like dirt roads. And it was Arrowhead and St. Francis were platted, and the other streets weren't. And Arrowhead was called Marquette. Yeah. I like Arrowhead better. Marquette's okay.
That property, the Minahan property, do we think that with the individual property nomination that they'll discover all of the person heritage behind it? So that could diversify our national listing with not only architecturally significant, but personal historical significance with it being two in one property.
You mean because of the significance of the relative that who died in the Titanic? I don't know.
He was from Fond du Lac.
Pardon?
That he was from Fond du Lac, the one that died on the deck.
Yeah.
And they were friends with the Astors, but he didn't live in that house. He wasn't from.
So it's not. There's no person significant.
Yeah, it's tenuous.
Okay.
It's
only his great nephew, who was Roger Minahan, who lived in the area and was a partner and, you know, founder of a couple of law firms, you know, locally. And so, but there are a lot of residents of architecturally significant homes who also were quite successful business-wise, and they raised the bar pretty high. I think you have to be Vince Lombardi or somebody. You have to have an important role in...
Well, that initial survey was just a street survey.
Yeah.
There was no
right, yeah.
real research done.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Do we have anything else? Trevor, do you have anything to add based on listening to our
back and forth
our back and forth dialogues here?
No, I think you guys had a pretty good discussion, and it seems like you might be ready for a motion.
Yeah, I would agree. So the action that we need to take here is to simply select one of those two properties. And that'll be included in the Miramar district nomination process.
So, okay, I guess I'll make the motion.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to include the Webster Avenue property in the... as the individual eligible property in the 2015-2016 National Register nomination project with Miramar District.
And Webster Avenue is the Grayling?
Lillian and Herman Grayling.
Okay.
Or Grayling. Grayling property. We have a motion. Do we have a second? Trevor, am I not able to make a, as a chairperson, I'm not able to make motions in 2 seconds?
You can make the motion. I'm pretty sure you can make the second.
I think
it's
going to
be an interesting.
One other solution is that on the if Cecile was willing to pay $2,000 towards an individual nomination, we do have a contractor willing to do it at an individual house for $2,000. So we received bids to do that when we did the pump house buildings. There was a woman who was on the approved list, and she offered to do it, I think, for $1,750 per property. You know, so for just under $2,000. So I think that's available out there. So if Cecile is willing to go ahead and put the $2,000 in, she could go ahead and do that, and then have everything done. And then finally, the contractor who's going to be doing this just did a very similar home. Their own office building is a revival. It's a Mediterranean revival home too. So they just did that on the Prangy House in Sheboygan. So they have experience doing that type of thing. So that would probably be a very good report to see it, to have that come through, because they just did all the research on it when they had their own office building nominated and accepted as the National Register. So the Legacy Home Office is similar to the Grayling House. So that would be a very good report, and they'd be able to do a good job on that.
So we still have a motion, and we're thinking about having a second to the motion.
It's a tough decision, you know. I mean, and I appreciate the input, the added input, but then it's kind of like maybe you're punishing one of the owners for making the offer to pay for it.
And they're paying for somebody else's property.
Yeah, and they don't know that, but, you know. But the synergy thing, you know, and for us to have a hung jury isn't very constructive.
The option that Trevor proposed as his initial solution was to postpone until the next grant cycle and put two of them in there.
So we'd have two birds in the bush.
Yeah, we'd rather
versus
have
one in the hand.
One in the hand. We'd have two in the bush. So I'm, you know, there's a tendency to want to take the money that's available to us now, because there's a risk of.
And it's an easy election year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's easy to not make a tough decision and say, okay, we're going to do it next year. We're going to put them both in next year, and everybody will be happy. But maybe next year we won't do either one, or maybe we'll still only do one. And so we've lost an opportunity. So at this point, I'll second the motion to include the Webster Avenue property in our 2015-2016 National Register nomination project. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion now?
I disagree. So do you take roll call vote?
We will.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
So we will do the roll call officially. Fredericks?
Nay.
Nay. Rock? Yes. Trustee Ginrich?
Yes.
Yes. Mooney?
Yes.
Yes. I would say the motion carries 3-1. Do you agree, Trevor, or are we not?
No.
Doesn't?
No, you need a fourth.
Okay. So we have...
You need four? Because four is a quorum. Okay? It's a majority of...
You need a quorum to have the meeting, but then you don't have to have unanimous vote.
Okay.
And then I believe it's... the majority of the quorum that you have.
Go ahead.
You get to make your own rules. A committee does get to make its own rules, but you have the majority of the quorum that's been established.
I think that's true from Robert's rules. You know, we can't have
a
meeting without a quorum, or we can't make a decision without a quorum. But we do have a quorum, and then the 3-1 would be the decision by that group.
So you're in agreement that it's okay to...
That sounds right.
...to go forward with our decision.
Yeah. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to vote to meet. No.
Yeah.
You're cut.
Yeah. We could all go home.
Take the easy way out.
We've taken the action on item number 6. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the action on item number 7, 2016 certified local government grant for the nomination of the Robinson Hill District and one individually eligible property to the National Register. So Trevor, what's our action item specifically here? What are we... Do we need to name the other property in this?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we can.
If that's the way you guys want to do it.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
And so are we taking...
As a second project.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So the action item here is to move forward with the nomination process.
Mm-hmm.
Go out for bids.
We'll apply for the grant.
You'll apply
it's
for the grant.
It's the next granting cycle.
It's the next granting cycle.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll have that discussion prior to that. Do we want to apply as one project, knowing that it's only one individual property, or do we want to apply as two?
So our motion should specify if we believe that's appropriate to do two separate projects.
Mm-hmm.
To help ensure success?
Well, we're just sending out two RFPs.
Yeah, we're just sending. Yeah.
Right.
Double. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
We do either or. So one company can bid on both?
You can make it so one company can bid on both.
Okay.
discussion on this before we entertain a motion?
So are we thinking, are we thinking about then doing the other property that was, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking? Okay.
Yeah.
Doing it now instead of potentially waiting till the sunset.
We'll do it in the next grant cycle.
Okay.
Better than the second.
Okay. The third year.
Grant cycle ahead. We'll do it in the next grant cycle.
Okay. Sounds good.
Which is coming up.
Can Trevor ask to see if there's any, when it all shakes out and they see how much money they got left, to see if there's still enough money left to do it this year? They have an extra $1,000 that may be enough to get the seals done if he kicks in a little bit. So if you can give him the instructions to continue to move forward to pick up any extra surplus funds to do the seals house this year, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, if that were an option, I would certainly go for that. You know, as an aside or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were thinking all along. Any
that there may be some money that's unclaimed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For the.
And at this point, we might as well try and use that rather than go through another grant cycle. The timing will be about the same. Mm-hmm. So.
But we still at least should take action
on this. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're still going to take action. So we just need one of us to make a motion that we.
I'll make the motion that we proceed with the. Application for the grant for the nomination of the Robinson Hill Historic Project and one individual eligible property that would be the Minahan property. And that motion would be that these could be go out as requests for proposals on two separate, on an individual as well as a neighborhood district to ascertain the most competitive bids or something in such words as that.
Those words are fine.
Okay.
I think. We have a motion.
I'll second.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? This motion carries. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect blue sky world if there's some money left.
Yeah.
That's really nice of her.
Yeah. That was my hope at the village board that we could have got that done.
Yeah, that's why we asked. That's why we asked.
Rat.
But we, we. We couldn't argue anymore. We could only put forth our.
No, we gave it a shot, right?
Yeah. Item number 8. Next meeting date and agenda items.
Would that be the October one?
Yes,
this is our September regular meeting.
October.
Yeah.
20 something.
Yeah, I don't have my calendar.
26.
October 26th.
That's at 6:30 usually, right?
6?
6 or 6:30?
Six.
6 o'clock, okay.
I'm not able to make that one. Just a.
How about everybody else? I'm okay, I think. 26. I guess we can start with that date. Unless anyone else. Maybe John Horn will be back from wherever he is. Okay. 26 October at 6 p.m. Item number 9, adjournment. One more motion needed.
So move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.